but because our colleagues with police, they had a very thick document. So it was difficult to ask to stop them. They said they finish up next week. I don't think they will come back again. Sorry about that. Thank you very much. Without even delaying, because we've been delayed for a long time, I think this is you supposed to make a briefing on the ITEC strategic plan, annual performance plan, and budget allocation. Without wasting time, I think let's give you this opportunity to brief the committee. I think maybe it's wise that because we don't know each other here, maybe that quick introduction. My name is Dumisani Kingi, Chairperson of Security and Justice. I'm a permanent delegate from the Western Cape, but originally from Eastern Cape, Mapungi. Thank you. Next to me is Antia, who is a content advisor. On my right here is Mr. Goshen, who is a committee secretary. Can you introduce yourself?
Oh, thanks, sir. You've already introduced me. I'm Honorable Moses Tata Mshala, permanent delegate from Mpumalanga. Thank you.
I would like, sir, to introduce your team, yourself and your team. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and member. My name is Israel Kamanyane, Acting Executive Director for the IPIT. In our midst, we have the CFO, Merlin Dokutle Nongo. Where is she? Oh, she's coming, Honorable Chairperson. There she is. Then we've got Nomkosi Nikianda, Program Manager 1, Chief Director. Then we've got Ntate Lethiwe Sesoko, Chief Director and Program Director, Program Manager, Program 2. Program Manager, sorry. Okay, then Program Manager 3, we've got Mel, Marian Moreswi, she's with Legal Services. Then we've got Memo Lope, Program 4, Stakeholder Management. Then Tate Moses Dlamini, Spokesperson, National Spokesperson. And Me Antoinette Mpaho, she's the director in the ED's office. Then we've got Ntate Tebello Mugiri, acting PLO for the department. Without wasting any time, I will go straight into our presentation. Our presentation is on Strategic Plan 2015 to 2020, Annual Performance Plan 2015-2016, and the budget for 2015-2016. I will deal with the overview, then the CFO will deal with the budget, then the program managers will deal with their respective programs. Then I will then deal with the conclusion. On the overview there, I will start with it. The NDP, which is the National Development Plan, envisions that in 2030, people living in South Africa feel safe at home, at work, at school, at work, and they enjoy community life free of fear. And in line with this vision, the strategic outcome-oriented goals of the IPIT are linked to outcome 3 and outcome 12, as identified and adopted by cabinet in January 2010, and these two bullets deals with the realization of professionalizing the South African Police Service as well as demilitarizing as and when the IPED do its work. The Directorate's key priority over the medium term is to strengthen its investigative capacity. That is why there is a creation there for the NCEF of the NSAID unit at National Office, including by improving the quality of training for investigators and the guideline systems and procedures used for investigations and reporting. No real increase to the budget, and the CFO's presentation will expand in respect of that. The strategic priorities were funded through reprioritization from goods and services to compensation of employees. We have to come up with measures as to how are we going to deal with the cutting of the budget. The message IT expansion strategy is not funded over the NTF period, and that particular strategy, it was a vehicle to assist us to address the issue of the capacity within the department. Other unfunded priorities include ICT improvement plan, the public awareness programs, where you will notice during our presentation that the number is being reduced. The IPED has identified strategic priorities for 2015-16 with the establishment of the NSAID, National Specialized Investigative Team, training and capacity building of investigators, the attainment or the maintaining of an unqualified audit, because we have received unqualified, we just want to maintain that, identification and investigations of systemic corruption cases. The department is divided into four programs. Is the investigation program one, program two, program one administration, program two investigations and information management, and program three we have legal services, program four compliance monitoring and stakeholder management. I will then hand over to the CFO to deal with the E&E budget allocations for the department for 2015-16. Over to you, CFO.
Thank you. Afternoon, honourable members. I'll be taking you through the estimates of national expenditure for the Independent Police Investigative Directorate. We are vote number 20 in the E&E that was tabled for 2015. My presentation will start off with an overview of our strategic spending priorities over this period. And then I'll take you through the allocations for 2015 up until the third out of financial year. I'll then demonstrate the breakdown of that budget per program, as well as per economic classification, and then conclude by doing a comparison of the allocation to the prior financial year. Starting off with the overview, just to highlight what our key strategic spending priorities are. In terms of staff requirements, our priority over the medium term is to strengthen our investigative capacity, including improving the way in which we operate through improving our guidelines, systems and procedures, particularly in the area of investigation. In terms of how we intend to do this, our core program, which houses our investigative function, is the Investigation and Information Management Program. And this program has received the bulk of the allocation of our budget over the medium term. As you'll also know, investigations are labor intensive in nature. And as such, the bulk of our allocation is found within our compensation of employees budget, with more than 70% of it residing in compensation of employees. There's also been an increase in compensation of employees, which mainly provides for further capacitating our National Specialized Investigative Team, otherwise known as NSIT, And this is a team that provides specialized protection services during high-profile cases, as well as specialized investigative services such as systemic corruption for the department. We also have a focus on skills development over the medium term, particularly focusing in the area of specialized investigative skills and abilities within the directorate. So then move to the next slide. The expenditure of the ITIG has increased from 153.5 million in 2011-12 to 234.8 million in 2015-16 at an average annual rate of 34.6%. And this is accounted for by the implementation of the IPID Act, which was first implemented on the 1st of April 2012, which is why you would see that large growth rate of 34.6% over that period. You would also expect that since that was the first year of implementation of the first phase of implementing the Act, that the budget would continue to increase at a similar rate. However, this is not the case. Over the medium term, the budget will only grow to 25.9 million at an average annual rate of 9.6%. And this growth will be focused again on capacitating our investigative capacity as well as the access to the directorate services. If we look at the baseline allocations per financial year, for 2015-16, the IPID receives an allocation of 234.8 million. This is only a growth of 100,000 rand as compared to the prior financial year, which equates to 0.04% growth from the previous financial year. So as was outlined by our accounting officer, there has been no real increase in the budget between 2015-16 and 2014-15. Going forward, for 2016-17, the budget allocation is 246.1 million, which is a growth of 11.3 million as compared to 2015-16 at a rate of 4.8%. For 2017-18, the allocation is 259.9 million, which is a growth of 13.8 million at 5.6%. As demonstrated in the following pie chart, the allocation thus per financial year is relatively proportionate due to the very low rate of increase that you see year on year between those three financial years. If we then look at the budget allocation per program over the MTF period, you can thus see that our core investigative program, which is Program 2, Investigation and Information Management, receives the bulk of that budget allocation, and this trend carries through in the outer financial years in terms of the budgetary allocation. It's also evident in the next slide in the graph, which shows the bulk of ICID's allocation residing in our core program, Program 2, which is the area which is represented in maroon in this chart. If we look at the budget breakdown per economic classification, once again, just to be reminded of the mandate of the IPID, which is to conduct investigations, as outlined in Section 206(6) of the Constitution and Section 28 of the IPID Act. And as stated earlier, investigations are labor-intensive in nature, which is why here you see a bulk of the IPID's budget allocation throughout the interim period residing within compensation of employees. The next slide does a comparison per program of our budget allocation for 2015-16 with the prior financial year 2014-15. For Program 1, there's been a slight decrease in the budget allocations of 6%. Due to reprioritization of the bulk of the ICID's budget allocation to our core program, which is Program 2. However, within this program, there is an increase in Program 1's compensation of employees of 26%, which was to provide for increasing provincial support capacity for our region, as well as increasing our strategy support function within this program. In Program 2, which is our core program, there's been a growth in the applications for Program 2, which is also evident particularly in compensation of employees, again, due to the further capacitation of our National Specialized Investigative Team when it comes to them having capacity to conduct specialized investigation as well as protection services. Program 3, Legal Services, the main increase in this program has been in their goods and services budget, which was an increase to accommodate their operational plan in order for them to achieve the strategic objectives for this program. Our program manager for legal services will present those objectives as we go through in our presentation. Program 4, which is our compliance monitoring and stakeholder program, the main increase there is in compensation of employees, and this was due to improving the capacity in our stakeholder relations management component. In conclusion, the estimates of national expenditure for IPED are expected to grow from 234.8 million in 2015-16 to 259.9 million in 2017-18, which is mainly directed to further capacitating the National Specialized Investigative Team, our stakeholder management functions, the strategic support capacity, as well as provincial support capacity. The priorities of the IPID over this period will continue to be on maintaining our unqualified audit opinion, and as well as maintaining appropriate spending in light of our current expenditure for 2014-15, which was at 99%. We thank you, honourable members. I'll now hand over to our program manager, Wan, who will take you through our strategic priorities for administration. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. Program one is administration. We are divided into sub-programs. The main objective or purpose of administration is to ensure overall management and administration within the IPID. We also provide strategic direction and overall compliance monitoring within the department. We've got executive support, which is providing support to the Office of the Executive Director in order to ensure efficiency in that particular office. We've got corporate governance, which is ensuring the performance monitoring and evaluation of our key targets that we've identified for the particular financial year so that we do not deviate from the planned target. They also house the risk and ethics office so that our department is operating within the spirit of good governance. Integrity management is established in terms of Section 22 of the IPED Act. They are there to ensure that our investigators are taken through integrity screening and testing from time to time. This is to ensure that as a department, our work is of high integrity and we are trusted as the organization. It also assists in identifying and eliminating those who are not good or bad at processing in our organization. Security management is there to ensure that our environment is secure and free of risk for our officials as well as our clients. This includes both physical and information security for the department. Internal audit is there to ensure compliance monitoring and also identification of risk and advising the department on how to mitigate the risk that would have been identified. They also ensure that we comply with various legislation and prescripts as the department. Financial services is where our CFO is residing. They're there to ensure sound financial management and strategic leadership within finance chief directorate within the department. They also ensure procurement and provisioning services for the department. We've got the finance services as a sub-component there, which are there to ensure expenditure management as well as budget, accounting services, cash flow management, as well as financial reporting for good governance. Supply chain management and asset management, they are there to assist us with procurement and asset management services for the department. in line with PFMA and Treasury regulation. Corporation services, we've got human resource management, where we've got our human resource development, service conditions, labor relations services, employee health and wellness, and recruitment and selection services for the department. Information communication technology, they're there to provide ICT advisory services, also to develop and implement ICT strategy, and develop and advise on the solutions that will assist the department to implement the strategy. Communication is where our national spokesperson is residing. Under his leadership, we've got media liaison services, marketing and branding for the IPID, as well as library services. Auxiliary services, that's where our fleet management, records management, telephone services, cleaning, facilities management services are collected. They also do the accommodation management, where they are implementing the voter funds. When CFO was presenting on her overview, she alluded to the priorities being investigative capacity and skills development. So as we move forward as the program one, we are moving along those lines. Our strategic goals are as follows. The IP has an effective performance management system, including internal control and external performance reporting procedures to ensure accountability. The second strategic objective is capacity building, which is the IP is equitably capacitated to ensure effective and efficient service delivery. The link between the two is that we have to ensure high level of performance within the limited resources that we are having. Then we can only achieve that through capacitating our core business, as it has been alluded to. We have developed a number of performance indicators. One of the indicators that we have developed in order to ensure that we assist our core business is the number of financial expenditure reports that will be submitted. Over the MTF period, we will produce 12 per annum throughout the MTF period. Number of asset verification conducted. We believe that we must account for all the assets that you are having as the department. So we will do four quarterly verifications throughout the MTF period, four per annum. Percentage of vacancy rate per annum. We believe that for us to be able to deliver on our mandate, we have to reduce and make sure that we maintain very limited vacancy rate. So we are targeting to ensure that the vacancy rate remains below 10% throughout the MTF period. The reason why we are unable to go to below 10% is because the environment in which we operate in is such that people come and go. So we have to always bear that in mind, that as people gain experience, they get more opportunities outside. So we will always have some sort of vacancy rate, even though we are moving in ensuring that the vacancy rate is low at all the time. Percentage of female employees employed at senior management level. We want to ensure that we maintain 50%. For the first time in the history of the organization, we've got the 50% representation at senior management level. As you can observe, even among this team, we've got more than 50% represented today for senior managers. So we want to ensure that we retain these female employees at senior management level by ensuring that the environment in which they're performing it's attractive, and we are able to retain them by assisting them with the needs that female senior managers would require, so that they can be able to remain with us, because we believe it's important, it's an important objective that we maintain that or exceed it if it's possible. Percentage of staff complement consisting of people with disability, at least 2% per annum. We have moved from 0.6, we are currently sitting at 1.5%. We've got an employment equity target that, and we've got the directives from the executive director that has been issued to make sure that certain positions are earmarked and they are filled by people with disability. We will recruit until we fill those positions by people with disability. Not ending there, and also making sure that we retain people with disability within the organization by ensuring that our environment is conducive for them to remain with us. 50% of trained officials is part of capacity building. This will be done through all individual performance development plans, as well as skills development plan for the department, which is approved, so that we make sure that we do have capacity to deliver on our mandate. A number of candidates enrolled in leader on learnership program. This is our response as the IPID towards creation of job for the youth. We are targeting youth who have got only matric, no experience whatsoever. So we've targeted that over an MTF period per year, we will take 12. Those they will be assigned with mentors, and if possible, they will be absorbed on permanent positions, so that once a person is appointed, does not become unemployed again after 12 months. So we'll do everything in our power to make sure that we expose them to training, we expose them to mentors who will also assist them. So it's 12 over the MTF period per annum. A number of reviews of organizational structure. As a growing organization, we're going to review our organizational structure to ensure that the way we have organized ourselves is responding to the needs of the department, and it is addressing the strategic objectives of the department. So we will, from time to time, review and reorganize up until we are comfortable that now we have achieved what we need to achieve as a department in terms of capacity. But on an annual basis, this is the commitment that we must review our structure and see that it is addressing the needs of the department. A number of monitoring and evaluation reports produced on the attainment of strategic objectives. This is a monitoring tool to check if we are not deviating from the planned target, and we will be moving and advising core business, especially if we are not meeting the target, so that interventions at various level can be provided so that we can achieve our target. Thank you so much, Chairperson. I'll hand over to our Program 2 Manager.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. In terms of introduction to Program 2, we confirm our contribution to the NDP, Chapter 12 of the NDP, for a police service that is trusted by our community and operates in line with the Constitution. We have, in line with that, revised our strategy so as to improve the quality of investigation and to move away from completion of cases to a decision-ready cases and move away from completion within 90 days. We also are done. The purpose of the program, Chairperson and members, is basically to conduct investigations because it's a core program within IGI, which is responsible for investigation. We're also looking at enhancing the efficiency and management and maintaining the relationship with our key stakeholders within the state security cluster, within the state security agencies, being the South African Police Service, the National Prosecuting Authority, Civilian Security for the Police, as well as the communities that we serve. The program, Chairperson, consists of three sub-programs, which is investigation management, where the chief director, the program manager responsible for the program, is housed, and the newly established national specialized investigation team will be housed in this sub-program. The next program is investigation services. Investigation services, that is where the operation happens in the provinces, includes all the provincial offices. We also have information management sub-program. This sub-program is responsible for the maintenance of the case flow management system, a database compilation of statistics, as well as trend analysis of the available data to make recommendations to CPS. So, President, the program has three strategic output or strategic objectives, which is case management system, decision ready cases finalized, as well as recommendation reports generated and referred. With regard to case management system, we've got two indicators, and those indicators are percentage of cases registered and allocated within 72 hours of receipt of written notification. These are quarterly targets, and for the first year of the MTF, which is 15-16, we've targeted 90% of the cases, and then this will grow over the MTF period to 91-92%. And a number of statistical reports generated on the number and type of cases investigated, recommendation made, and the outcome thereof. These are quarterly, these are monthly, quarterly, biannual, and annual targets, and we are envisaging doing 18 reports over the MTF period for each financial year. With regard to this, in great cases finalized, here, Chairperson, members, we have 13 indicators. These indicators are all linked to our mandate in terms of Section 28 of the IGI Act. The first indicator refers to percentage of all decision-ready investigations finalized. It's an annual target. We're looking at 58% of cases that are decision-ready. This will grow over the MTF period to 60 and 62% respectively. We've got percentage of investigation of death in custody that are decision-ready. These will also be quarterly targets. In the 15-16 financial year, we're looking at finalizing 60% of those cases. And then this number will grow over in period to 62% and 64%. Percentage of investigations of death as a result of police action or the decision ready is also quarterly targets. 15-16, we're looking at 50%, which will grow over the MTF period, 52% and 54%. Percentage of investigation of discharge of an official firearm cases by a police officer that are decision ready. These are also quarterly targets. We're looking at 58% target there. In the 15-16, this will grow over the MTF period to 60% and 62% respectively. Percentage of investigation of rape cases by police officer that are decision ready. These are also quarterly targets, 15-16, looking at 62%. This will grow to 65% and 66% over the MTF period. Percentage of cases of rape while in police custody that is in red. These are also quarterly targets. We're looking at 62% in the 15-16 financial year. This will grow over the NTF period to 65 and 66% respectively. We also have percentage of investigation of torture cases that are decision rate. These are also quarterly. 15-16, we're looking at 50% and grow that number to 51-52% over the NTF period. A percentage of assault cases that are decision rate, we're also looking at, these are also quarterly targets, also looking at 50% in the 15-16 financial year, which will grow to 51-52% respectively over the NTF period. Percentage of corruption cases that are decision ready, these are also quarterly targets. 15-16, looking at 50% target, this will grow to 51-52% over the NTF period. Percentage of other criminal cases and misconduct, as per our legislation, Section 28.1H and 35.1E, these are also quarterly targets, and looking at 50% in 15-16, this number will grow to 51-52% over the NTF period. Number of systemic corruption cases identified and referred for approval, we're looking at 9 cases for each of the financial years over the NTF period, and percentage of approved systemic corruption investigations that are decision ready, we're looking at 2 cases in 15-16, this will grow to 3 and 4 over the NTF period. And on percentage reduction of backlog cases, we're looking at reducing our backlog by 50% in 15-16. This will grow over the NTF period to 50% and 70% respectively. With regard to the third strategic objective of recommendation reports and registered and referred, here we have 4 indicators. And the first indicator is percentage increase of criminal recommendations to prosecute that are placed on the court roll. We're looking at increasing this by 10% on each year of the NTF period. Percentage increase of disciplinary recommendation where disciplinary processes are initiated by the SAPS. These are annual targets. We're also looking at increasing this by 10% on each year of the NTF period. Percentage of criminal recommendation report referred to the National Prosecuting Authority within 30 days of recommendation reports being signed off. These are quarterly targets. We're looking at achieving at least 80% in each year of the NTF period. Percentage of disciplinary recommendation reports referred to the Southern Police Service and Municipal Police Service within 30 days of recommendation reports being signed off. We're looking here also at achieving 80% over the NTF period. I thank you, Chairperson. I'll hand over to Legal Services.
Good afternoon, Honourable Members. I am here to present on Program 3. Program 3, that is Legal Services. The purpose of Legal Services is to provide overall legal advice, guidance, and support to manage the legal obligations and ensure that we comply with the Constitution, with any other piece of legislation, and the regulatory compliance in which we operate in. This program provides support to the Directorate as a whole, and in particular our core business, which are the investigators. The program consists of 3 sub-programs. It's legal support and administration, legal and litigation advisory services, legal and investigation advisory services. Now, legal support and administration oversees and manages the Directorate's constitutional, legal, and statutory obligations and compliance. We also develop legal systems, norms, and standards that will enable it to advise, guide, and support all the programs of the department. We also oversee the implementation and management of legal services' strategic objectives. The Legal and Litigation Advisory Services is responsible for the coordination and management of civil, labor, and arbitration litigation matters. We also review the department's policies to ensure that we comply with legislation, and we are also the custodians of the department's policies. We also negotiate, rather, we also draft and negotiate contracts, MOUs and MOAs, and service level agreements. Excuse me. We also provide legal advice, guidance, and support to the department, and we conduct legal training for investigators. Legal and Investigation Advisory Services, this sub-program is responsible to provide legal support for investigators during investigations and also after the completion of investigation. This helps, as Mrs. Soko has mentioned, it also helps with to make sure that the cases that we present to the NPA are decision-ready matters. We also provide legal support. We provide legal advice, guidance, and support to investigators, as I've indicated. We also conduct backlog cases, interventions, and we ensure that we comply with the law, and also when conferring policing powers to investigators. This program has two strategic objectives. It is legal and litigation services provided, and also investigation and advisory services that are undertaken. The objective statement for legal and litigation services provided are that the management of the department's legal obligations and the provision of legal advice, guidance, and support. Here we're moving from a baseline of 66% of legal opinions that are provided. We intend to move from that baseline to in the 2015-16 financial year to increase that to 90% and to retain it in the outer years of the MTS period. In terms of investigation and advisory services undertaken, here what we do is we give legal advice and guidance that we provide to investigators. We intend that the oral and written legal advice that we provide to investigators within 24 hours and 48 hours respectively should be at 90%, which means we intend to be able to furnish investigators with oral and written legal advice within the 24 hours or the 48 hours respectively. Now, in terms of the performance indicators for these two strategic objectives, we have the percentage of contracts and service level agreements that are finalized. We intend to finalize those within 30 working days of the request. This we want to retain in the 2015-16 financial year and also in the outer years. We want to retain it at 90%. The percentage of written legal opinions that are provided to the directorate within 21 working hours, we also intend that those should be at 90% in the 15-16 financial year and also in the outer years. And then the percentage of arbitration, civil, and labor litigation matters that are attended to, we intend that we should be able to attain a target there, our target, which is 100%, for the 15-16 year and also the 16-17 year and the 17-18 financial years. We also intend on being able to offer or provide our investigators with oral legal advice within 24 hours. We intend on being able to achieve 90% in this 15-16 financial year and also in the outer financial years. The percentage of written legal advice that we'll be providing to investigators within 48 hours, we intend that we should be able to meet that indicator 90% of the time in 15-16 and also in 16-17. Those are the two outer years. And then the processing of policing powers, we intend to be able to finalize those applications within 5 days of request. So it would be 100% in the 15-16 financial years and also in the outer years. the percentage of policies that we review for compliance, we also intend that we should be able to offer or to be able to review those policies within 21 working days 90% of the time in the 15-16 year and also in the outer years. We also intend on issuing practice notes and directives. In the 15-16 financial year, we intend to release 4, and then in the outer years, it would be 16 for the 2 outer years. Excuse me. Percentage of the prior requests that are processed and finalized within 30 days, we intend that we should be able to finalize all prior requests within 30 days in the 15-16 financial year and also in the 2 outer years. The number of interventions that are conducted on backlog of cases, we intend on doing 9 in the 15-16 financial year and also 9 in the outer years that are coming. And then we also intend on providing legal workshops. That would be 12 in the 15-16 financial year, and in the outer years it would be 12, and 12 of those two financial years. In terms of the quarters, it will then translate to, for instance, if you have a look at the contracts and service level agreements that will be finalized within 30 days of request, that would be a quarterly target. As I indicated, we intend on finalizing 90% of all these requests in all the quarters. The percentage of legal opinions that are provided to the directorate within 21 working days of requests, we also intend that we should be able to complete 90%. But the numbers that I've indicated above, that I said were yearly targets, will translate into the quarterly targets. Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members.
My name is Mamudisha Modope, and I'm representing for Program 4, which is Compliance Monitoring and Stakeholder Management. The first question is, why do we even exist? The program is there to safeguard the principles of corporate governance and stakeholder management. And we'll do this through ongoing monitoring and evaluation of the quality of recommendations made to the South African Police Service and Municipal Police Services. In addition, we will report on the Police Service compliance with reporting obligations in terms of the IPIC Act, Act No. 1 of 2011. So for us to be able to achieve all this, we have divided the program into 2 sub-programs. Sub-program number 1 is about compliance monitoring. In this case, we'll be monitoring and evaluating, number 1, the quality of recommendations made, number 2, the responsiveness received from the staff, municipal police services, and the NPA in compliance with the reporting obligations in terms of the Act. Sub-program number 2 is about stakeholder management. In this case, we'll be managing relations and lessons with the department's key stakeholders, the staff, NPA, as we've already mentioned. Now, for us to be able to do all this, compliance monitoring and stakeholder management, we have 4 key strategic objectives. The first two are more aligned to the Subdirectorate on Compliance Monitoring, and the last 2 are aligned to stakeholder management. Okay, our first strategic objective is on compliance monitoring of the responses to recommendations. In this case, we regularly monitor the responsiveness of our key stakeholders on the recommendations made. It is a new indicator, so we don't have a baseline to it. Number 2, my colleague here has indicated that he has got investigators who will be doing the investigations in the provinces and then writing reports. So our mandate is to do the quality assurance of those reports and also show compliance. It is also a new indicator, so there is no baseline for it. Key strategic objective number 3, as I mentioned, is more aligned to stakeholder management. In this case, we'll be having regular engagements with our stakeholders, including the SAB, MPS, Civilian Secretariat, etc. And then the last key strategic objective is on public awareness campaigns. In this case, we'll ensure increased community participation in crime prevention and safety initiatives, organize campaigns that increase public awareness of the provisions of the ICIP Act, the directorate's functions, and the utilization of the services. The baseline will be the number of community outreach events conducted per year. Now, how are we going to be sure that we are actually moving towards the attainment of what we intend doing? In this case, we've got performance indicators. For strategic objective number 1, which is about the recommendations reports that will be quality assured, the indicator there will be the number of reports that we have quality assured. Remember I said they will write the report and then we do the quality assurance. So our target in this case is 4 per quarter, which means, actually it's 4 reports per annum, that means 1 report per quarter. The same goes for compliance monitoring responses. In this case, the indicator will be the number of reports that will be producing based on the compliance that we see from the reports that our colleagues will have written. The target is the same as in the case of quality assurance. It will be 4 per annum, which means 1 per quarter. The next indicator will be the number of community outreach events conducted. That will be linked to the strategic objective on public awareness campaigns. In this case, we are looking at 216 community outreach programs, which means that will be 24 programs per province per annum. The last one is about stakeholder management, and the indicator in this case is the number of formal engagements conducted with key stakeholders per year. We are anticipating to conduct 120 key stakeholder meetings. In other words, that will be 1 meeting per province per month, also including head office. So that will translate into 120 meetings per year. The last 2 slides, if it pleases the honorable members, I would like to skip because it's just a breakdown of all that I've already mentioned. And I'll hand over to our acting executive director to conclude on the presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thanks honorable chairperson and members. In conclusion, as the department, we commit to fulfill our mandate as stipulated in the ICIP Act, more especially Section 28, to redefining focus on investigations from completions to the decision-ready cases, to enhance quality of investigations, integrity of investigations, increase in number of cases prosecuted, both NPA referred cases and subs, and lastly, the systemic corruption cases will be driven from the national office by NSIDS, no more from provinces. Lastly, there I will just want to assure the chairperson and members that the members and the management of the IPs, they are loyal to their work, and the organizations in making sure that the performance of the department is not affected with what is prevailing within the department at the moment. So the issue of stability there and unity is very strong, and we are working on it as management. Fortunately, most of us, we have been here for some time within the department. Thanks, honorable members and chairperson.
Thank you very much, Acting Director. Thank you for this document showing the focus. Welcome on our demanded, our week. I think this is your opportunity, honorable members, to start to seek clarity from the department.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we must, of course, welcome the presentation as made by the department. Though, of course, it will be the norm that we, of course, seek some clarity questions. One, I will first go on the issue of your provincial heads. I just want to know, because you spoke of your human capacity in terms of building human capacity within the APED itself. Now, up until today, since it has been established, I just want to know the progress of our provincial heads. Are they the 9 provinces? Have we appointed those provincial heads as of now? The other question, perhaps, that I would like to get, which will be the understanding, because we are dealing with budget. 2012 and 2013, the department understands its budget. And 2013 to 2014, also on 2011, 2012 to 2013, they spent under below 13%, underspending of the department. Now, 2013 to 2014, you also underspend 11%. So I just want to know what were the causes that made you to underspend. Was it because of the issue of appointing personnel within the institution or what, but already accept to be checked by yourself? What were the reasons that made the department to underspend? Now, this year, 2015-2016, of course, in terms of the approved budget, it's 12.4 million. How sure are we that we are going to spend this budget as you underspent previously? How sure are we? Of course, I understand our investigation, yeah. The head of investigation said, you know, they will be making sure they because of course they achieve the what you call an unqualified report. So they want to maintain that. Can we give surety around that? Yeah, sure, I think. And the other matter, perhaps, we will want to be paid, man. Where is this department operating from? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Zumande.
Yeah. No, thank you, Chair. I got caught up during another meeting, so I missed the earlier parts of the presentation. But for many times, the issue has always been the I hear the quality assurance part. and the plan, but for many times consistently, what Parliament has been trying to get out of the IPED is its spread, in terms of access to services. You know, people that are in the far flung areas of our country, IPED would not reach the, even those in the urban. You know, I had a case with the police around Lobeg, Table View, that area, that police station there. And so somebody called me, and it was a Friday evening, and then the issue, the number you are given is a Belleville number for people who are not working on the weekend, who will work on Monday. Now, if it was a very serious case of that required evidence and that kind of thing, so it means that case would have not been seen the light of day. It's a practical, I'm just giving an example, and I'm sure there are many such cases. So in terms of what we are trying to achieve, the service, the quality and the level of service we want to give to the people in relation to IPED growth, you know, they've been on a decline. And I think I didn't see the figures, but I think they're still on the decline in terms of this budget. And so I could be that they don't finish their budget yet. They must explain that. It could be that then you can't increase money when they can't spend the little that you have. Similar thing as in municipalities. You know, can't spend conditional grants, but you want more money. You know, could be the same situation. So what is it that needs to be done, I think? And what is it that they are putting on the plan for better performance this time around? I think that so they would have to talk on the issues of how far now is the scope of their service, and what are the plans for the scope for the service, to make sure that the far-flung areas do get service. And in the past, yeah, they used to say that they even have subs, you know, to assist them with resources and you know, so we want to hear now what is the stage and what is the plan for 2015, even in as far as that is concerned, where they had to ask staffs to even do, you know, some of the work that they couldn't reach or that they couldn't cover, if we could hear that. And that links to the question of where do they operate from. Now, whether there are new offices that have been opened that are, or there will be more that will be opened in 2015, 16, perhaps throughout, if they could give us the MTSF indication, perhaps in that question of extending the scope and the infrastructure to make sure that service is done. That also touches the issues of managing even the evidence, exhibits, and that, so they were kept in the, well, that what is that SAPS thing? 13, is it? SAPS 13. So what is the situation now, Chair? If we could get, you know, a picture there in terms of, so that we are able to assess progress or regress in as far as the IPED is concerned, Chair. Say that would also talk to the equipment, you know, equipment in general, the infrastructure and equipment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. And some of my colleagues will respond to some of the questions. But firstly, in respect of the situations with regards to the provincial heads, honorable members, they will remember that those posts were upgraded as per the IPED Act. Previously they were directors, then according to the IPED Act they were supposed to have been placed at chief director level. Then those posts became vacant from as and when the Act was came into effect in April 2012, up until they were filled, all of them, during October 2014, meaning that they were vacant for plus minus 2 years. But as things are at the moment, all of them have been filled, and we don't have a problem in respect of that. But mostly the underspending for those 2 years, 2013, 2012, 2013, 2014, even with regards to that particular year, it was as a result of that. But in respect of the assurance, because we've got full capacity staff complement at the moment, this is evidenced by the 99 spending of our budget for 2014-15. So for 2014-15, 99% spending for 2014-15. So how are we going to maintain that for 2015-16? We have learned from those particular past experiences, but we'll even make sure that our vacancy rate, we keep it at below 10%, as it was presented by Chief Director Corporate Services. In respect of the, where is the department operating from? Our head office is in Pretoria in 114 City Forum. That's where our head office is, and in all the provinces we do have offices in all the provinces, and we do have 9 satellite offices, except 9 provincial offices. So the idea that this will talk to our expansion strategy, the ideal was to have a satellite office, but we wanted to move from that particular terminology of the satellite office to the district and regional offices, where we'll have our offices footprint in all the municipal districts offices. But unfortunately, we have developed that and costed that, and it was never funded. We still have that particular documentation. So if we can get funding, we'll be able to implement that. Most of the provinces, they are located, provincial offices are located in the capital cities like Bloemfontein for Free State, East London for Eastern Cape, then the Western Cape one, I think it's in Belleville. It started here in 1997, so they have moved to Belleville. The spread access of the IP services, that's where that one will be covered by Dr. Soko, because it also talks to the issue of the standby by investigators as well as our extension strategy. Let's check.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think with regard to accessibility of our offices, as the Executive Director has indicated, the offices that we have in each province, basically we have 2 offices currently. Now, we developed an expansion strategy, which we costed, which was presented to Treasury, it was presented also to the Portfolio Committee on Police. We're hoping that that would be funded starting this financial year 15-16. In terms of the strategy, we were looking at having additional offices and moving away from what we used to call satellite offices to district and regional offices. Your district offices would be those that operate within a district in a particular province, and then your regional will then be offices that are interprovincial. So an office that will be operating in 2 provinces, for instance. So that is how the strategy was carved. We were looking at having in the 15-16 17, 6 more additional offices, and then 17, 18, 5 more additional offices. We're looking at the increase of staff over the a period to about 382 staff members that will mend these offices. So unfortunately, the strategy has not been funded as the executive director has indicated. In fact, we have experienced a cut in budget, as most departments have, because of the current economic situation. So, therefore, that meant we have to reprioritize and see what we do with what we have. One of the strategies was to establish the National Specialized Investigative Team, NSIT, which will then ensure that the investigation of systemic corruption cases and all these high-profile cases, where in the previous years we used to have a situation where we have to get investigators from provinces to come and form a team and focus on investigating those things, those cases, thereby depriving provinces of these resources. Now we'll have now specialized people who will deal with those things, so that the investigators in the provinces deal specifically with those cases. So that is what we're trying to do in respect of that. In terms of accessibility, unfortunately, those are the only offices that we have. We have, however, investigators that are on standby 24/7. So if a person wants to lodge a complaint against the police, all the police stations have got our standby number. So if it is expected that if a person goes to a police station and wants to lodge a complaint with us, they should be able to be given the standby number if he wants directly to report to IP. However, in terms of our legislation, the police have got an obligation that when a report is made to them on a criminality by police officers, they have a legal obligation in terms of Section 29 of our Act that they immediately report that to our standby number. So the investigator or the informant will receive a call from the police to say there's a case that has been reported, and then give details of that case so that the investigator can respond to that. Over and above that, the obligation says within 24 hours after being aware of that report, they must do it in writing and refer to our offices. So there's that legal obligation on the police to do that. So a member of the public, when he reports at the police station, the police have an obligation to report these matters to us. All these matters that are referred to in Section 28 of our IPID Act. And most of these cases are the ones that I was alluding to when I was reading the strategic plan of the department. With regard to using the resources of the police, currently we cannot move away from that, because that is the financial constraint that we find ourselves in, and the non-funding of these priorities. So we still have to rely on the police to a large extent on ballistics, for instance, until such time that we develop our own capacity, when that capacity is being funded. With regard to equipment, we do have our own equipment. However, where we lag in that equipment, then we also get assistance from the police, because in terms of our legislation also, they are obliged to assist us when we require assistance from them, because at the end of the day, it's still state resources and we are responsible to serving our community, all of us. I hope that covers that, Honourable Members.
Thank you. Before I give you another turn, I would like to...
Can your question be the last one, Chair?
No, coming back to you. We'll give you the chance. Absolutely, I want to... If you can give us an overview of the status of the National Specialized Investigative Unit, what you call it, the NSIT, in respect of recruiting and training of the SOMN specifically. And you can, if you can give us this, what timeline has been put in place. Secondly, if you can explain again
in detail how the operations of the scheme will result in decrease in death in police custody, as well as criminal offences and serial misconduct alleged to have been committed by the members of the SAPS. Thank you.
You know, I don't know how would I put this, but we should be in the position to assist this department because it's a very crucial department, especially when fighting corruption within our department, the public sector. I think I must put my question like this. I'll pose it to the question directly to ECFO or yourself directly. Yeah. To say, are we okay with the budget that's allocated? That would be the question. Are we fine with this budget? If yes, can you explain why are we fine? If not, what are the challenges do we have so that we are able when we debate these issues? Because I hear your director saying, you know, the budget has been cut. Of course, we do need funding, but how are we going to, can we be given flesh? So as to assist the department. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable the man, this is the last round.
So what we're trying to get at is there's always been a backlog. We don't know how they are dealing with the backlog. And even commitments for 2015-16 in terms of dealing with the caseload. Yes, there's a team and what, you know, given the state in which the department is, it's not a good one. So indications in terms of management, you know, they live with what they have, but that's not the reality or the real situation. I think we would like to get the real situation in terms of, you know, the actual cases that, I mean, the caseload and or the backlogs in general as well. If that's the overall challenges that they would have as an institution or as an organization. The second one, Chair, is that as part of the cluster, one of the issues we've been quite engaging vociferously on is the issue of, say, for instance, legal aid to people and making sure that legal aid transform itself to be a recognizable and a useful service. And therefore, Chair, the question I'm getting at is they spoke about public awareness. But what is the public awareness? Are they on roadshows? Is it a media announcement about their existence and services they offer? What does it entail? It's meeting which stakeholders? Is it participation in CPFs or convening a workshop of CPFs, for instance, where because these CPFs are at the coal face of knowing, you know, how police stations and what corruption and how police are interacting with the public within the jurisdictions that they are in. So that the stakeholders share and this public educational awareness is very specific and full of value given the situation that we are in. So if we could have more kind of information in as far as that is concerned. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Acting Director. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I'll start off with the question on our current baseline allocations. Are they adequate? And the response to that, unfortunately, even in light of fiscal pressures, is that it's not at the level which the department would like to see those allocations. And the second part of that question was then, if we say that, what are the challenges that we are experiencing with this allocation? One of the key priorities that the ICON would like to see, it was in our strategic documents in the previous years, it still is in our strategic documents, is the issue of coverage and accessibility of our services, as well as the ICON's ability to access crime scenes swiftly so that we can arrive at the crime scene while the evidence is still available and relevant to ensuring a prosecutable case. So what we need is that we need this department to reach a stage where it's fully fledged in terms of its investigative capacity so that we can deliver swift investigations. Secondly, we are a fully fledged department, national department, yet if we look at the way IPED, even in the days of ICD, how it was established, it's not a fully fledged department in terms of operational or administrative operational support to our investigators. And you would find that the department currently, as a result, is very centralized in terms of our administrative operations, which strains our ability to be efficient and responsive to investigative needs as they conduct their investigations. So we would greatly appreciate an increase in this budget allocation so that we can be able to be a fully fledged and fully capacitated department. Going back, you'll also remember that in 2012, we received the first phase budget support for the first phase of implementing the IPED Act. But unfortunately, we didn't see the rollout of the outer phases in terms of budgetary support. And as such, we are not yet at the capacity which we envisage in our IPED expansion strategy. There, in terms of full-fledged capacity, just looking only at investigative services, we are seeing ourselves growing to an investigative team of approximately 515 staff. Currently, we are very far from that capacity. However, we've been able to demonstrate recently in our concluded financial year our ability to spend, and would greatly appreciate then increases in the baseline so that we can take ICED to an adequate level. We want to be able to conduct investigations effectively, to provide feedback to complainants swiftly, as well as to achieve fully prosecutable cases. So we'll really appreciate increases in baseline so that we can reach an adequate capacity in terms of investigation. Thank you, Honourable Minister.
Can I just add just a little bit on that in respect of when the study was conducted before the IPED was established in 1997, it indicated that ICD will need 535 personnel can carry out its mandate during that particular time, 1997. 2014-15, our staff complement, it was 393 after IPED. At the moment, 2015-16 is 414. So we are not even nearer 535. That was needed as and when it was established, 1997. So, but we have been just soldiering on, trying to make more with the little resources that we are having as the IPED and ICD. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to give you a picture, in terms of the ENE that we submitted to Treasury when we were requesting funding for expansion strategy, for 15-16, the request was for an additional 43 million. And then for 16-17, an additional 83 million. And then for 17-18, additional 121 million. So just to give you a picture of the kind of funding that we needed just to be able to capacitate ourselves and be able to implement the expansion strategy in particular. So clearly, and from what the acting ED say, you know, it will be difficult for us to fully function or be of operational or be accessible as we would like to be to all the communities, given the current resources that we have. With regard to the overview on NSAID, NSAID was conceptualized based on the realities that we find ourselves in. And as I've indicated, that the idea was to try and say, let's have a specialized team that is highly skilled in terms of dealing with cases of systemic corruption, organized crime, but even further than that, be able to do protection work, because we've had situations where our investigators' lives were threatened on the investigations that they've been conducting, some of the high-profile cases. In some instances, we had to remove investigators from one province to the other just to make sure that the investigators is protected. Unlike the police, for instance, we don't have that kind of capacity. So the NSAID will then be able to do that. Not only do these high-profile investigations where we don't have to take people from provinces to do this, but they'll concentrate on this investigation, but also to help where there are issues of threat for investigators, that they're able to deal with that. We're looking at the posts that have been advertised. Some recruitment process has already happened in some of the posts. We're looking at having a director at national level, a deputy director, and then we're looking at 15 assistant directors, six at the national office and one in each province. So there will be that representation also there, but they will be responsible for dealing with these high profile and systemic corruption cases. So this is to try and deal with what we have, but also ensuring that the other cases that will also be coming in terms of our mandate are also being dealt with to the best of our ability. In terms of the departmental recruitment plan, we're looking at finalizing the entire process so that people can be able to start latest by the 1st of July. So that is basically that, Chairperson, with regard to this. The impact that they will make, we're looking at more impact in terms of cases of systemic corruption, because that is where they'll be focusing mainly their work on. But also any other high-profile case that would normally be dealt with at national level, then they'll be able to deal with those cases. So we're looking at seeing a huge impact in terms of this high-profile, especially this systemic corruption cases that are happening within the police. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to respond on the question regarding the access to IPIT. As you have heard from my colleagues here, the budget has been cut. However, we endeavor to profile the IPIT in terms of the work that it does, including arrests. When we make arrests, we'll issue a statement or some communication. When we have conviction and sentences, we also communicate. However, we also do other work, such as the branding of taxis. We had branded taxis which showed IPIT, and they were customized for each and every province that we have. So they had contact details of the provincial office where they were located. And we also had campaigns, for instance, where we advertised at Metro Rail train stations, and you would have commuters then would be able to get the message about the IPIT's work, as well as where to find the IPIT. And we also have slots on radio. For instance, yesterday I was speaking on Ikwekwezi, informing the listeners about the outcomes of cases that we have, because we have convictions that we have reported and that received good coverage, and we do that with other stations as well. We are looking at using community radio stations as well to ensure that we make the work known. We also, in the last financial year, we also had adverts inserted in certain print media, such as your Daily Sun, which has wide circulation, and we're able to get coverage. With regards to the CPFs, the program stakeholder management actually has set itself targets in regard to this one. We have, if you look at our threat plan and APP, specifically the APP on page 37, you will also see that we've got a new indicator in relation to CPFs, or interacting stakeholder management with the CPFs. We've got a target of 54 of such engagements planned for 2015-16. So we are doing our best. We would like to do more, but of course within the limitations of the budget. Thank you.
Chairperson, I think we do not deal with the issue of backlog. We have a specific target, if you look at our APP, with regard to dealing with backlog cases. Our idea is, whilst we understand that we won't be able to deal with all the cases at once that we receive, but we also have concerted effort in terms of dealing with backlog cases so that we reduce all the backlog cases that we accumulate over time. So when you look at our strategic document, you'll see that we have targeted the reduction of backlog cases by 50%, and then that will go to 60% and 70% in the outer years. So even in the financial year that has passed, we had also a strategic objective dealing specifically with backlog, with a view of reducing these backlogs.
Thank you very much, Acting Director and your team. I would like to ask from the Monday just to do a vote of thanks on behalf of the college.
Thank you, Chairperson. And Chair, would perhaps just as a departing shot to ask them to send us the expansion strategy, Chair. You know, I think that will assist us to further engage and interact with the higher authorities, principals, in as far as this matter is concerned. Even if perhaps at some point we invite them to really take us through the expansion strategy, but if we could request that as a committee that they share with us, they send it to us, the expansion strategy. Then to take the opportunity as well as on behalf of yourself as chairperson of the SLEC and the members and present here today and those that are not here, the secretariat that administer these things on our behalf, and then to thank and appreciate your time. Hopefully we didn't we were not party or accomplished to deplete your resources when we were all about to interact when we are all requiring you to interact with us in making sure that we do assist you and we do make you account on what you are trying to do, and with the ultimate goal of making all of us successful in making sure that we extend services to make sure that we also take care of everyone else. I'm sure, Chair, we missed one point, the issue of the health and welfare of them or of the staff as such. We hope that is part of the at the State of the Nation Nation's address, the issue of the health and welfare of all the people that are in the public service. I think it's a matter that it's morally obliging to all of us, particularly us as a public representative. So we do thank Chair, the Executive Director and your team for sharing with us the information, empowering us. We will interact through questions, through motions. We do see your public awareness, your interactions with the public, and I mean in some cases. So it is correct what you are saying. So we did thank you, and we thank you, Chair, for the long day. We hope you'll talk to the judge to increase a little bit. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. The meeting is adjourned. Thanks.